We look at the bench press inside the Indiana Convention Center. For the first time, fans have a look at some of the testing at the NFL Scouting Combine. It is part of the bigger NFL experience here in Indianapolis. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Here's what's up today. The Combine continues a little later today. Quarterbacks and wide receivers in the media room here at the Indiana Convention Center. And our guest today, Vic Carucci from the Buffalo News, is with us. John Osier here as well. Yeah, John, I guess you're here. Vic, it's great to see you. How are you today?
John's always here. Right. This is my guy for many years, going back to here. Going back to the
That's right.
Team too,
long yeah. time. Long time.
But great to be with both of you, yes.
Thanks for coming on with us. We got a lot to get to with you today. Let's start, though, with Doug Marrone.
Sure.
Former Buffalo head coach, now with the Jaguars. Couple of years in Jacksonville now and has moved up to that role again. Mm-hmm. How did it all go down, I guess, when that all happened? It was a big deal when he left. And
yes.
Since then, a lot has come out in Buffalo.
Yeah, I would call it as bizarre a story as I've been around, and I think that's saying something because I've covered this league a long time and I've seen a lot. And you
covered
always,
the Bills and Browns.
And covered the right. Bills and Browns, and I think when you're dealing with that, you know, things you see some things that you can't unsee. But I thought at some point, first of all, I didn't suspect he was going to be leaving. I had heard the rumblings. It was Adam Schefter who first brought it up. Somewhere days or so before to keep an eye on it. And I was pretty much laughing it off. And you don't laugh off much of what Adam, if any, of what Adam reports. He's pretty dead on. But that when that came up, I said, I can't see that happening. Well, it did, of course. And he took a $4 million escape clause to resign, to leave a head coaching gig that he could have kept. And that's the thing. They're so precious, these jobs. So, you know, having it come on New Year's Eve as it did took a lot, all of us off guard. And then the Bills were left to search. And obviously we know the rest of the story. They got Rex Ryan and then fired him 2 years later. But it would back to Doug, you know, it wasn't the easiest time with him, I think, in relationship with the fans and the media. But it got when that happened, you know, you talk about a town and players and a team that were really upset with somebody. I mean, I'd say he wore about as, you know, as black a black hat as you know, to take it back to the old Westerns where the bad guy was that guy. He was the bad guy, and I think he still is in the eyes of a lot of fans.
But you also, we've talked. There's the perception of Doug,
right.
And there's perception of Doug in Buffalo, but I think over the year you covered him, you got to know him a little bit beyond that perception. Tell me about Doug that maybe people don't quite grasp.
Yeah, what they don't grasp is, first of all, he's an excellent coach. I mean, he's really a thorough, detailed. He's the type of coach that I think, had he stayed in place in Buffalo, with what he put in place there in the 2 years that he was there, could have been successful, especially having, you know, Jim Schwartz with that defense. Putting together, I think, an offensive philosophy, even though the offense itself needed a lot of work, but an offensive philosophy that was complementary to having a strong defense, which they did. They were fourth overall in 2014. And then you saw it fall off the cliff. And having Rex Ryan come in, who didn't have attention to detail, who didn't have a level of accountability for players or anyone else, and ran a very loose ship. That was the opposite of what Doug Marrone had in place in Buffalo. So I thought pretty much after the first year of Ryan, I did the, you know, what it might have been. And I think that's why fans, again, their reaction is you quit on us, right? It's
sure.
Hard. It's hard to change that narrative. And Doug himself, to his great credit, acknowledged that and talked about that here when I asked him a question.
And you thought, to interrupt you, that was important to him this week.
I thought he was vital to him. And as we were doing the, and I mentioned this to you off air, that he was sort of looking at me and there was another writer, Jay Skursky from the Buffalo News, and kind of looking in our direction like, all right, guys, I know you want to ask this
right.
question.
Now's
and, and I'm here. Now's
right.
the time because I'm gonna answer it. And I thought it was great, and some Buffalo fans, by the way, appreciated hearing it. For some, it might have been, or even most, might have been too little, too late. But I don't think that matters. What matters is Doug addressed it, I thought he was forthright about it. He said it was a mistake. And please, for those who say Jaguars fans saying, well, what is he saying? Does he say he would rather still be in Buffalo and not here? No. What he's saying is if he had to do it over again, that's not a move you make to, you know, the way you want to exit a job and you want to communicate things better. But it worked out. He's right. A head coach again. Yeah.
There is an element there, too. Sorry, JP, of, you know, he doesn't necessarily walk to the beat that everybody would walk to. Most people wouldn't have done that. He obviously had his reasons, and there were things that he believed in strongly enough to do what he believed in, which, you know, I know Buffalo didn't like it, but there is something there, is there not?
Look, we as media, as fans, as anyone looking outside in, is not going to know all the details and all the reasons why someone does what he does. Now, when you've got the money that we've reported, the $4 million that he could walk away with,
that's crucial. It
makes that decision obviously less risky. It makes it zero risky, but it doesn't address, it doesn't tell you, well, then there's something maybe beneath the surface. But again, let's go back to earlier this week when he addressed reporters here. He was clear in saying, look, I've spoken with the owner. I made some peace there, because the owner, you know, didn't want to be looking for a coach after that for their first year on the job as owners. They didn't want to do that.
Vic Carucci is with us from the Buffalo News. Did you see him bouncing back as quickly as he did?
As a coach, I mean, look, I knew he had the skill to be somewhere, and I've always had the highest respect for his coaching ability, his knowledge of O-line play. He's what I call the inside-out guy. You know, he sees the team, you know, the core build, and that's why I think it's a great combination with Tom Coughlin, because I think they see building teams the same way. Be strong on the interior and then build everything out from there, and you have a core. So I thought it was a great move for the Jaguars to have a guy like that on the staff. And then looking at how things got off the rail, maybe similarly, I'm not going to say Gus Bradley and Rex Ryan are the same guy, because they're really not. No one's like Rex. He's a lounge act, basically, most of the time, keeps you entertained. But Gus, who has a wonderful personality, and I don't know that the players felt as challenged, or I don't know about how they felt, but I perceived it as maybe not being as challenged as they needed to be. And now the new order that's in place with Tom and Doug changes that, right. I think.
Nathaniel Hackett,
mm-hmm.
You saw the offense that he and Doug ran. You're assuming there would be some similarities. Tell me about Nate, first of all, and then the offense overall that they ran.
Yeah, well, first of all, Nate overall is a guy who comes from great coaching pedigree, mm-hmm. The Hackett name, Paul Hackett, and his dad, and learning football, offensive football.
Yeah,
yeah, from you know, you're pretty much out of the cradle that way. And I think his concepts are balanced. He's sound, and you have a discussion about him about the offensive philosophy. It's a deep discussion. He can take you into a lot of good, detailed places, which I always respect for our jobs.
And loves taking you there.
Yeah.
Loves
talking ball. So that isn't why you should consider guy a successful, really good coach. He's ultimately got to do it on the field. But it tells me, given that window to his mind, is helpful in sort of seeing how he goes about it. And it does sound sound, and it does sound reasonable. And if you've got the talent that meshes with it, I mean, I think it's going to be a good thing for as they try to repair in Blake Bortles' game and try to repair the offense as a whole. But the most important thing he was trying to achieve in Buffalo, and I think he'll try to achieve here, and it'll be in sync, aligned with Doug Marrone, with Tom Coughlin, is balance.
Right.
Balance, balance, balance.
Vic Carucci with us from the Buffalo News. Let's switch gears a little bit. You're a Hall of Fame selector.
Yes.
Tony Boselli was in the room for the first time this year, and every time we have a selector on now, this is the go-to question.
Yeah.
How close and what's it going to take?
Well, the discussion on Tony was a good one. Given the bylaws of the Hall, I can't give you details, but I will share with you that it was a positive discussion. I thought the advocacy that was presented for him was strong. And I went in there, you know, with a sense that Tony was a legit Hall of Fame candidate in my mind. The brevity of his career and the, you know, being again those the injuries that shorten things, especially in Houston, are seen as among the obvious negatives. But you got to look past that, and I think the fact that Terrell Davis got in this year is helpful because it sort of allows people to sort of to rethink the concerns that shorter careers have when you're really studying and analyzing. And you know, a guy like Lynn Swann didn't have the longest playing career either for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when I remember being in the room for that vote, and I said, are we really questioning whether Lynn Swann's a Hall of Famer? And you know, because what I saw of him was Hall of Fame all the way.
Sometimes he gets down to feel on that.
And it does. And it should. I mean, it should, because everything's taken into consideration. It's not just a numbers discussion. It's a discussion that has a lot of analysis, opinions, thoughts of teammates, former coaches, former scouts, former GMs. I bring in a lot of people into the mix in my research over the course of the months that you have or weeks that you have. And with Tony, with old linemen, you got to study a lot of things. You can't just make it a numbers-based discussion with linemen, obviously, and you want to know how it fits into the big picture, how it fits in the smaller pictures. I think he has Hall of Fame credentials, and in my mind, it felt closer, you know, it felt close, I should say, for him this last time around, and
right.
We'll see how it goes again.
The Hall is not really a one-year deal for a lot of guys. There's a lot of ups and downs, twists and turns.
Right.
But it sounds like momentum is there.
And you use the right word, John. It's momentum. I think it's important that people build that and ride with that and stay – it's hard to stay patient with it.
Sure.
If you're the Hall of Famer. And I hate that every year more people – are upset about it than happy with it,
right?
Because only a few get in. But it's special because only a few get in. So,
Vic Carucci, Buffalo News, great to see you. Thanks for the insight.
My pleasure,
Doug
guys.
Marone and the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Room. Good to see you, man.
Great to see
Big
you guys.
Fantastic stuff.
Pleasure.
Appreciate
the pleasure.
Buffalo News,
yes.
Joining us here on Jaguars.com live. Our live coverage wraps up today. We'll have more coverage on Saturday here in Indianapolis to wrap up the week of the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine. So check out all the coverage, all the interviews, and all the live archives from the past few days here on Jaguars.com as we move ahead. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Jaguars.com Live rolls along. Great insight there from a guy who dealt with Doug Marone on a daily basis, at least for a year on the beat in Buffalo. Vic has been on the beat in Buffalo for a long time before that, left for a number of years, and has recently come back a few years ago. But, you know, It might be taken the wrong way by a lot of Buffalo fans.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Vic, and you hope that every media guy is like this, and they all aren't. He makes a great effort to be insightful and to not be swayed by what's going on by the noise, and to get to know people that he's covering. And people in the league have great respect for him for that. So I wanted to talk to him about Doug, because you get conflicting reports from people in Buffalo. Doug's personality does not always it's not always all that friendly, you know.
Right. He's New York,
old school,
Bronx,
yeah, all that.
Thing.
But
yeah,
that's okay, because there's substance there. And I think Vic took the time to really get to know Doug and the substance, and offered a lot of insight today. There has to be some sort of ability to do what you believe in, to do what he did in Buffalo, rightly or wrongly. The power of his own convictions, all that stuff doesn't rub you the right way when it happens to you as a fan, but there's some integrity there, I guess, is what Vic was trying to get at, and that's what I wanted Vic to talk about, and I thought he did a great job.
And it was interesting when he talked about Doug on the podium, looking at the Buffalo guys, saying, "Well, this is the time, guys.
Yeah.
Come on." This
and
is the
and
time.
I sort of felt that a little bit, but I didn't cover Doug in Buffalo, and I don't know the dynamics of that. It was interesting when Vic talked about that, but it's particularly interesting that Vic really believes that the guy was going to be a successful head coach somewhere, and he had covered him for a year, saw the direction it was going in Buffalo. Now, who knows what would have happened, but there is a sense within the league that this guy is an organized, disciplined coach who is going to win somewhere. Will that be Jacksonville? We'll find out.
Hope so.
But it's certainly – you don't doubt from listening to Vic that there will be a plan, that it will be followed, and that there will be a direction that is undeniable for this team going forward.
Yeah, a direction, a structure on a daily
Right. Now, you
basis,
never know what that's going to entail, right. But there won't be any question about the direction the team wants to take.
It's always interesting, and every time we have a selector on, we ask those questions now about Boselli. And the answer is – pretty normal now. I mean, he was in the room. Those are momentum there. It sounds like there is. And it's always – I love getting in the head of a Hall of Fame selector, and as much as you can getting in that room because, as he said, they don't give out a lot of
info.
Well,
it's a misunderstood process, and I think there's a perception among some people that it's sort of a – you know, with the TO stuff this year, it's, oh, these guys don't think it out. They're doing things for the wrong reasons. They're vindictive in it. I've talked to a lot of voters I've known for 10, 20 years, and I've watched as they go through the process Super Bowl week, and I've listened to them as they debate it. I think it's not an ideal system because I don't think there is an ideal system. Out of the systems that are there, I think it's the best one because what you can't doubt is the passion and the commitment and the importance that they put to it. And I thought Tony's candidacy, if you call it that, over the last two or three years speaks to that. He was out of the room for a long time, and once he's gotten into the discussion, football people, once they start talking to other football people about Tony Boselli, the quality, the it's not right to say that Tony's been overlooked. He had a short career.
Yeah.
But now that he's in the conversation – he's getting the credence that he deserves because the discussions are real and they focus on the right things. And everybody I've talked to, on air, off air, seems to think that he has the momentum. I still continue to believe he gets in before 2020.
Yeah, and now that
maybe
guys,
well before.
Now that players that played as long as him or shorter are getting in as well, that kind of helps
thing.
The case, there's no doubt
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, because
that.
You use precedent, you use yep. things like that in the room because it's such a hard thing. And I wanted to ask Vic this, and we sort of wrapped it up. Most people, you're starting to hear more and more people talk about there not being enough slots, and five is a tough number. So I don't think that's going to change, but I do think Tony gets in the next couple of years, and I think he should.
It would be great to see. Hey, next guest is going to join us here on Jaguars.com live from Radio Row at the Indiana Convention Center. It
Mark,
is from
it,
ESPN. Front office insider Mark Dominic is with us. Thanks for coming on short notice, first of all.
We yeah, happy to jump on. It's always good to
John
talk.
John Osher, Mark, good to see you again.
Mark, yep, good to see you too. It's always fun to talk football.
It really is. And let's start with the Jaguars. The front office situation there is relatively rare now. Tom Coughlin's back in a role that he hasn't been in when he's not coaching at least.
I know where he is right now.
Where is he?
He's at the 10-yard line. You know he's. You can still see Tom Coughlin. They just changed the hat. But he's timing 10s. And
even
he's
if he wasn't in the league, he'd find a way to be
at that 10-yard line. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So he's there at the top. Dave Caldwell gets a 2-year extension as the general manager. Mm-hmm. Doug Marrone brought on from the interim role as the head coach. It's a three-headed monster. It's Tom's room, though. How does that all work together?
I think it works together from the simple fact that I like the fact that obviously Caldwell and Doug Marrone have known each other for a couple of years now and been around. Same with Todd Wash. I mean, it's nice that there's some continuity there. But it's more of kind of learning and listening to Coach Coughlin and Tom Coughlin, I guess he was wanting to say, but listening to what he thinks.
Are they still calling him Coach?
I've got to call him Coach. I think I saw him walking down the hill. I called him Coach, but he's Coach. So anyway, I think the critical part there is the fact to listen to what he's saying. Like, use your ears, don't use your mouth around Coach Coughlin for a little while, just to kind of get a sense of what does he see the football team. Because I think taking a step back and letting somebody come into the organization and say, wait, I've watched the tape of 2016, I see this, it's okay. And you got to allow him to be critical. And you got to have enough humility to sit there and say, okay, maybe that guard is not as good as I thought he was, or maybe we're not as deep a defensive line as we think we are. I'm not saying that's true, but I think it's important to let a guy that's a football guy like Tom Coughlin have the room and be honest about what he saw and not take it personal and sit there and say, okay, then here are the areas we need to address, and then keep that open communication going.
And then you can start the discussion from there with three minds working on it rather than one.
That's exactly right. And you can come together because, you know, again, he's just there to help them win, just like Caldwell's there to help them win. And I'm sure Coach Marone's doing everything he can to hopefully help us win, right, as an organization. So it's just take your time and listen to it, be methodical about each player on the team. And it's not just the starting 22. I mean, how do you think we are at linebacker? Right. How do you feel like our depth is at linebacker? And doing that will help you get to free agency. It will help you walk into the draft and help you come to common ground on, you know, this whole building the football team in 2017.
We talked to you at the Senior Bowl very briefly, and obviously the topic around the Jaguars beyond leadership is Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Well, I'm very curious on Blake Bortles to see how he handles this offseason working with the quarterback coach, you know, because I know he's going back out west, and that was a big stepping point that he felt like he took in 2015.
Correct.
And then obviously he didn't do it in 2016. So I'm curious to see what Blake Bortles will come back in terms of release mechanics, because it's a hard thing to ever really change.
Right.
And so that's critical to me. But, Blake, I get where Jacksonville stands. This was our quarterback. We took him. I don't care if you took him third or 31st. He was the guy that you kind of gave the gauntlet to and said, okay, it's your team. And I think you want to give – he hasn't told me that you don't deserve 4 years. And so I think, you know, he's had his ups and downs. Yeah, but you know the kid. You know what he represents. You just want to make sure you see this one all the way through. So I don't think there's anything wrong with Blake Bortles. I don't think there's anything wrong with not bringing in competition. It's his team. Now, you can – I like Chad Henne as a backup. There's a good chemistry, I think, between those two. But you've got to just find out on Blake, because it's the pivotal point. And if you decide after 2017 it's not good, that's why you have Tom Coughlin there to sit there and say, hey, this isn't going to work, and we need to readdress the position. And I would be okay with that. Again, Dave Caldwell, and you guys know Dave
sure.
as good as anybody, I don't think he's got too big of an ego to sit there and say, if I can't get it done out of Blake Bortles in 17, will we move on? I get it.
Is there anything out there – you've seen the quarterbacks, and it's the debate among fans – in Jacksonville constantly, obviously, to bring competition. What is there a quarterback out there that's a better alternative, because it's not a great market?
It's a hard thing to do because you have to sell the quarterback to come, right?
Correct.
And so why am I coming to Jacksonville when I know I'm probably not going to be the starter because I have a chance to go to Chicago?
And that's the reality of it. It gets lost, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people realize that it sounds good. Like, I had an issue with Josh Freeman.
Correct.
And we knew where that was heading, and so we were concerned. So we drafted Mike Glennon. But during that time, before we drafted Mike Glennon, I was trying to get some veteran quarterbacks to come in, and no one believed that it was open competition. They were like, no, it's not really. You know, we get it. And so
these guys have careers to think about.
Right. And the agents sitting there going, well, you know, that kid's Blake Bortles. He's pretty good. You know, I've seen him 2 years ago. He was tremendous. Last year took a little step back. But you're not telling me he's actually going to come in here and beat out Blake Bortles. And so as good as it sounds to the fan and everybody at home is like, yeah, let's bring in more competition. You got to recruit somebody to want to do that. And then that takes more money. And maybe that takes away from getting a right guard or a right tackle or another player on your football team where, you know, you have Henne there and you just are really honestly saying, look, this is 2017. It's make or break for Blake. Let's see it.
Mark Dominic with us. Last couple of moments here with you. Free agency coming up next week. Jaguars have a lot of money to throw around, and they got to throw around some of that money. If you're the GM of the Jaguars, where do you start?
Trenches, offensive line. Just stay in there. And it's going to be heavy. I mean, what we're hearing that some of the guard, you know, it's a good guard. It's not a really good tackle. It's going to be the interior guys. The guards and centers are going to get some good money.
GMs have a tough time paying that much money for a guard, don't they, Mark?
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
It's a tough one, and it doesn't make sense because your mind can't get around it. Like, am I going to really pay a guard $10 million
right.
a year? He's a guard. But the reality is you have money, and there's money on the sideline. There's a lot of teams that need to spend and have to spend money. So now I think the most important thing for Coach Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, certainly Doug Marone are the coaches, is the guy that we're focused on, answer the question, why did he become a free agent? I know that sounds so simple, but find that answer out, because it might be, hey, look, we can't pay a guard.
Well, that's the million-dollar answer.
If you can wrap your head, so if you can get to a point like for me when I signed Vincent Jackson, I kept going through it like, why is the San Diego Chargers going to let Vincent Jackson go? And then I found out about some of the negotiations got really salty between the two organizations. You know, and they already franchised him once, and they didn't think he was going to be worth that kind of money. But I got to the point where I understand why they're not doing it. So now I feel a little bit better about why I am.
And that was one that worked.
And it worked.
Right.
And I had another one where I learned the hard way, where I should have thought the process going, why are they letting him go? Because they need help at that position. And so, you know, I think that's the big thing. That, like, we could talk about Leary from the Cowboys, right, the offensive lineman. He's probably ranked third, fourth, fifth best guard in free agency. Mm-hmm. But you can make an understanding of why he's going to hit free agency because they have a good offensive line. So I already take one step saying, I get it. So now we got to find out what the price is and does he fit into our system.
What's the rest of the week hold for you here?
You know, ESPN. some serious stuff and just kind of, you know, really – I have a chance here to go back and see everybody. I mean, I saw Dave Caldwell yesterday and had a chance just to talk to him real quick. But it's a matter of catching up with a lot of guys, a lot of friends I still have in the National Football League. So running around, listening, not using my mouth too much, and just listening to conversations, talking to people. But it'll be a lot of Sports Center hits and insiders and all that good stuff. But, you know, it's Groundhog Day. And we're only on Friday. The good thing is we actually finally get the workouts going. But
that's true.
It's nice that this is actually paired up again with free agency being so close because I can sense and feel when you're out there in the evenings, there's a lot of business being done.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you got it.
We appreciate your time.
Great stuff, Mark.
Thanks, Dominic. ESPN NFL front office insider joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Great insight there from one of the best in the business.
Yeah, and the I haven't heard it really said that well in a while. And you could see the wheels turning as he was explaining it, the difficulty of free agency,
yes.
JP.
The look in his face
it's hard
painful.
For GMs. He talked about doing the research and finding out why a guy's free. And it sounds so easy, but when you're getting ready to spend and you need to improve your team, it's a hard question to answer honestly. Because you want to sit there and say, I'm spending $8, $9, $10 million. This guy's going to make us better. And when you don't answer that question honestly, and then you bring a guy in who's not as good as what you're paying for, oh, my goodness, is that bad. But every team does it. They've been doing it for 20 years.
Yep.
There will be teams do it next week. And it is a tough question because you've got this pressure to get better and succeed right now. You've got this player who you know has talent, but there's a reason he's out there. Answer it honestly, and you've got a chance to make it work.
They're going to have a coin flip to determine an order in the draft between a couple of teams coming up right before they start the bench press today. So get ready, John.
It's all go all the time.
I heard you're going around doing drills.
Well, that's the rumor. I may be doing some combine drills with Dave DeCandis. So we'll see if he can talk me into it.
We'll look forward to that coming up. Well done today, John.
All right, guys.
Thanks to Vic Carucci from the Buffalo News, Mark Dominic from ESPN, our entire crew. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.